Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Do you know that you are a chosen person of God? Yeah, it says in Colossians 3:12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And those are part of the fruit of Holy Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. So that is our assignment. We've got to become more like Jesus through Holy Spirit's help. We can't do this on our own, friends. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, really a peculiar people, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:9. So we want to be so like Jesus that we just drop off all the junk that we know has not been a good thing for us, been contrary to some of our lifestyles, and just rely on Him. Oh, such a blessing to have you join us today. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. Our memory verse for this week is Isaiah 48, verse 17, and this is it from the Message translation. Come close, listen carefully. I've never kept secrets from you. I've always been present with you. And now the Master God sends me and His Spirit with this message, and this is Isaiah speaking. I am God, your God, who teaches you how to live right and well. I show you what to do and where to go. Oh, aren't you glad He does? He shows you those things, what to do and where to go, or I'd be stuck. I'd be stuck like some of these old vehicles. They used to have dirt roads, and if it was muddy, they got stuck in the road and they couldn't go anywhere. Praise the Lord. We've got wonderful highways. Oh, I remember the days living on the farm, and we had to come in 25 miles to church. And Kimberly, those roads sometimes got so slippery.
Uh-huh. Oh, and I remember.
Remember the time.
I know what you're going to ask. When we were out at the Clee Farm.
Yes. In our motorhome. Yeah. And the soil was so wet and clay-like that motorhome just slipped right into the gully and on its side. And there we were. Yeah. And I believe that Willie saw us from his farm, and he brought his big tractor out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we could have gotten out. The whole side of the motorhome was just mucked with mud.
Mm.
Oh, and
we don't want to be stuck.
Nope, we do not want to be stuck. So we want to ask God to teach us to know what to do and where to go. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I confess that I am an overcomer. Difficult circumstances do not control my life or my obedience. Instead of surrendering to the attacks that are assailing my finances, I'm going to throw a knockout punch at the enemy of fear. I'm going to sow an extra financial seed that will break the bondage of fear in my life. I have done that. I have said, okay, I'm fearful right now. I am going to write a check to my favorite ministry, and I'm going to send it to them before I even think twice.
Mm-hmm. Or just give bigger tips and just start being generous when you think you've got to be holding on more tightly. Yes,
that's
right.
It's
a good way to break that fear.
Yes, it is. When I plant that seed into the kingdom of God, for good. That seed will be multiplied back into my life 30, 60, 100 fold. Then I will stand in the manifestation of God's blessings. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And we find in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint, give up, and quit. And one test of a true Christian is what he or
He or she?
She, he or she. Try this one. Uh-huh. We were doing tongue twisters on the way home yesterday. Oh, you were good, Kimberly. You were really good. One test of a true Christian is what he or she thinks about God or worldly desires. If most of the Christian's thoughts are focused on his or her problems, then God is probably not at the center of their life. On the other hand, if the believer's thoughts frequently turn to God, then he or she probably has a close walk with the Lord. When our thoughts go to the majesty and love of our Heavenly Father, the problems and issues of life seem to melt away. They become afterthoughts instead of needing immediate attention. It has been said that the 7 days without God's word makes 1 week. That's W-E-A-K. And when we neglect to feed our soul with God's word, we become spiritually malnourished. Instead, we fill our lives with things that do not really satisfy our spiritual hunger. We look forward to the next weekend off more than our next quiet time with God. We spend more time watching TV than reading our Bibles. When this happens, we need to heed God's advice to Israel, found in Jeremiah 29. Seek and call upon the Lord. Come to him with open ears and listen attentively to what he says. God says in Jeremiah 29:13, "If you look for me wholeheartedly with all your heart, you will find me. I will be found by you." And in the Message, it says, "When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back to the heart of worship. I'll bring you home. You can count on it." Mm. Oh, beautiful, beautiful scripture to look forward to.
Yes.
And yesterday you were talking about some of the things in Matthew 24 and 25, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And maybe you can continue a little bit today in that.
Yeah, we were talking about stewardship. And I just want to fold in the scriptures that you were reading just now. I so appreciate that you are loyal to the Word of God, because we have to have something that we can confess with our mouth. And if we will fill up our vessel and our minds and our memories, our memory banks, if we will fill them with the Word of God and what He says about a situation, then we've got some content that we can pull on.
That's right.
In the times that we really need to pull on that content. Yesterday, when we were talking about stewardship, I was mentioning that we tend to think that we've got to steward the things of this life. We steward our money, steward our families, our business, our homes, our yard, our cars. Be good stewards, you know, make sure that you find whatever mechanic is going to give you the best deal, or whatever fuel is the cheapest, or what, and steward your money well, as well as keeping your vehicle running and maintained. It's just exhausting when
it
you
is.
Think
it is.
Of all the ways we try to steward in our own effort. Mm-hmm. And I am not so sure that's exactly what the stewardship in the Bible is talking about. So yesterday when I mentioned the virgins, the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, and it's talking about there's 5 wise and 5 foolish. And I have a different idea on why the foolish ones are called foolish.
That's why, right. And we can all identify with what you're talking about. Other theological explanations of this have led us to believe, well, I'm not in that category. I don't have to worry. I'm not a foolish virgin. But when you started talking about what you believe the foolish virgins were, it kind of hit me that, yes, I can think either of the news in the world, or I can rely on God. What am I doing every day, every minute of the day?
Mm-hmm.
Am I relying on the world system, or am I relying on God?
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the 5 foolish virgins weren't very good stewards of their lamps. Like they let the oil run out, they let the lamp go dark, they fell asleep on the job. You know, so it sounds like they weren't good stewards. That would be the practical way of looking at it, kind of like you're saying, the world's way of looking at it. It's very practical to look at it that way. But I'm not convinced that that's how God intended us to see it. I believe the 5 foolish virgins were not good stewards of their thought life and their attitudes. And the reason why I think that those five that we call foolish, if they thought well of their master, if they believed what the Bible said about him, if they believed that he was good and full of mercy and tender kindness,
yes,
and faithfulness, if they thought that of him, they wouldn't have run off when they realized their lamp was out of oil. And yeah. It wasn't lit anymore. They wouldn't have run away to That's go right. find more.
So good. Yes.
They would have trusted in their master's mercy and kindness. But instead, they did. They turned around and they went looking for a way to fill their lamp on their own. They missed the whole point. They did. They missed the whole point that God is full of grace, full of love, full of kindness, and that we're nothing without him. That's right. We need him. So if only they had trusted in his mercy and goodness, they could have remained standing with the ones we call wise.
Yes, and been welcomed into the banquet hall.
Sure.
When the bridegroom came.
Yeah, and why do we call the wise ones wise anyway? Why do we call them wise? How did they still have oil in their lamp? How was their lamp still lit? And we were talking in the car about this song that came up to me. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Right? Right? So, wow, that's an old song.
And it's so good.
Well,
because it's
you're
requesting.
Asking that's God right. for the oil
yes,
in your lamp.
Him. Yes.
And that's the only way that you're going to keep oil in your lamp mm-hmm. is to keep asking. You ask and keep on asking. Jesus taught us that.
Yes.
So that's the truth of it. It's not our own efforts that keep oil in our lamps. So I believe the five foolish virgins are a perfect example of being too focused on the problem instead of remaining focused on our answer. And I'm talking about our capital A answer. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about our Lord.
Yes.
So when we stay focused on the problem or the lack, that's what gets us distracted. That's what causes us to turn away and not come to the door of our master and keep knocking and keep asking. So these foolish ones were too focused on their lack. They were so bothered by their dark, empty lamps that they left the party. They abandoned their post. Mm-hmm. And guess what? God knows that we are dust. Mm-hmm. We have no power to remain awake without him. We have no oil without him. And we have no light without him. And he knows that. He is very tender-hearted to our fragile and vulnerable state.
Yes.
He has so much tenderness toward that. And he wants us to lean on him. And not our own understanding. He wants us to be full of him. That's what we were created for, vessels for him. Mm. And he wants us to develop character like his character. The only way to do that is to catch these thoughts and attitudes that are wrong thinking. Mm-hmm. Those foolish virgins were foolish because they were thinking wrong.
That's right.
And we need to catch those thoughts. Song of Songs, chapter 2 and verse 15 says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. And I think a lot of people don't really, if you try to take that literally, none of us really have vineyards growing in our backyards or, you know, especially if you're living in an apartment, you don't have a vineyard. Literally. So what are these little foxes? I have to look at this metaphorically. There are many versions of the Bible that describe this vineyard as a place where love grows.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts and attitudes that we nurture inside of us can either destroy that place of love or it can build up that place of love in our hearts that is meant for Jesus.
Yes.
So when we don't think well of our Creator, there's no room for him in our heart. And our heart was made to be that vessel that would contain him. So if there is a negative thought that is bringing you down, you think of it like trash. If we don't empty out the trash and keep taking the trash out of our home, it will pile up in our home.
Yes. Or on the phone, you've got those little trash cans. And sometimes you just need to put
on
those
your smartphone.
On smartphone, yes.
Keep throwing things
throwing
away.
Things
delete
in the trash.
Delete,
trash.
Right?
Yeah, delete.
So we need to be able to delete these thoughts that are so negative, that drag us down, that cause us to feel like we're failing, like we're not worthy, like mm-hmm. we're not good enough. Feelings that cause insecurities. Anything that's negative. Catch it. Mm-hmm. Catch it. Don't just keep ignoring it and letting it roll around inside you. Just catch it.
That's right.
And then take it. It's twofold. I believe that Song of Songs 2:15 is asking us to pay attention, to be alert, and to mm-hmm. catch those thoughts. But we can't get rid of them by ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's too much of a habit to think that way.
That's right.
I really like the Passion translation of Song of Songs 2:15. It says, you must catch the troubling foxes, or I'm calling them trash. Okay. Catch that trash, those sly little foxes, that stinky, smelly thoughts. Catch them that hinder our relationship, for they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I have planted within you.
Yes.
Will you catch them and remove them for me? And then it says, we will do it together.
Oh.
It's impossible for us human beings to do all of this on our own. So when we actually lean on our Creator, lean on our Lord to do the work, we're bringing it to Him and saying, okay, I'm aware now that I am very impatient, but I don't want to stay impatient because this is not your character. Mm. I want to be more like you.
Yes.
So will you help me with this? I've caught this, but now I need you to fix it.
Yes. Our first inclination is to ignore some of those weaknesses in our personalities. But when we realize that Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us, take away the harsh things in our life, like impatience, it gets harsh when we are impatient towards others.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of that. And then He will fill it. He
right.
will fill you with
yes.
His love and His patience and kindness.
Yes. If we're not getting rid of that, we're actually mistreating people. You know, to
yes.
stay impatient causes us to mistreat other people.
Mm-hmm.
That little fox of pride that might be in there, that'll cause us to abuse others in all kinds of ways because we'll think we're better than others. So catching those little foxes can be tricky when you've been raised in a prideful family or you work with impatient people. Whatever our normal is, we tend to blend in with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're completely blind to it.
It's true.
Because it's normal, right? It's our normal. So all it takes to catch the little fox, that in quotes, you know, the little fox,
little fox.
Whatever that is, all it takes to catch it is to be aware that it's there.
Yes.
Then getting rid of it is a combined effort. You recognize that little scoundrel, and then you take it to God in prayer and ask Him to remove it, and He will. That brings me back to that idea of stewardship that we were talking about yesterday in Matthew 25. After the story of the three servants who received their talents, you remember two of them were able to double those talents, and one of them hid his talent. You know, and that one, again, we're talking about somebody who did not think rightly of the master. He thought his master was harsh and cruel, so he hid it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so again, that's another really good example of a thought life. He didn't catch that little fox and then go and use the talent he was given by God. Instead, he just hid it away. After that story in Matthew 25, we get to hear about the multitudes who will be gathered before our master like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats. He will start separating all the people.
Yeah, we were not built to do that. We were not created to separate.
No.
Oh, that one's good and that one's bad.
No. We don't have the right opinions.
No.
We don't have
no,
the right judgments. And
that's
we don't
right.
have the right motives.
That's right.
When we're doing that. So that's His job. And again, He's looking for those sheep who want to be like Him, who have His character.
Yes.
Being more like Him is the goal.
Yes.
And He's not asking us to be more like Him without going and doing work Himself. What did He have to go through to take on human flesh and be our Savior, to sacrifice His own life for us? But not only that, the Old Testament, and I think you're going to talk about it more later in the week, mm-hmm. talks about him having his own control over his emotions.
Yes.
He's not asking us to control our emotions without doing it himself.
That's right.
He wants to hold back his anger, and he does it on account of his love for us. So he's so full of mercy and kindness toward us and holds back anger and frustration and irritation, just holds that back so much of the time, all the time.
Yes.
He's holding that back. And that's why we want to see him with new eyes and realize he is so good. And we want to be more like him. There's a song that Zach Williams sings about that. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me.
Just don't get it right. Where I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. But I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. There's no denying I have changed. I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I can't see you past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me.
Oh, there it is. Just got to be more like him, you know? And so taking our thought life, being really aware and intentional, thinking through, why am I feeling badly right now? Why am I feeling irritated? Why am I feeling frustrated? Wow, I've had a lot of opportunity in the last couple of weeks here as we've been trying to work out our phone, our Wi-Fi, our television in your home, just trying to get all of that worked out. And it has just, I don't know why it's been so slow, but it has been really slow. It was not just a quick turnover, you know, and they've had to run new lines along your eaves of your house. They've had to drill holes through your bricks in your home. They've had to run lines down under in the crawl space. I mean, it has been, it's been one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And I have had a tendency to want to grow weary. But we're encouraged, don't grow weary in well-doing.
That's right.
And to realize that I have a choice. I can grow weary and impatient and irritated and frustrated. But why? That's not why Jesus came. Mm-hmm. He came so that I could be full of life and peace and joy and mercy, a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness and goodness.
Yes.
Love and faith.
Look how many people we have met in these last 2 weeks.
So many.
So many. And when you leave them with a good tip, or you leave them like you took Xfinity, a whole bag of pop one afternoon so that they could have some drinks. And every time we walk into Xfinity now, and that's my new provider, then they're just, hi, how are you? I mean, they are excited to see us rather than, oh, here they come again.
And we've even been a hard case, you know.
Difficult.
But
yes.
They have been so kind. And here, just bringing it back around to stewardship, stewarding our thoughts and the words from our mouth, having a smile on our face, and being encouraging, letting other people know that we like their hair, we love their smile, you know, just being able to talk with them in an edifying way, building people up. That is what God does for us all the time. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "You have a special place in my Father's heart. For when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. And when I was poorly clothed, you covered me." These are the ones who are practicing the kindness, the goodness, the love, the faith, the patience. Those are the ones who are practicing. So we want to all be practicing that this week. Yes. I just am putting it out there as a challenge. And as you do it, we want to encourage you to
take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.